So I'll open up the informational meeting, and if Doug wants to come up.
Chair Byer, members of the committee, Doug Kendall, Deputy Director for the Department of Transportation. I got the message about a short meeting. I'm trying to move through this quickly.
Well, as long as you want to talk, we'll keep you here.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today about the storms that we've been going through seemingly unendingly this winter, taking on a couple of different forms. What I've handed out at your place, I believe, is written testimony that we gave to Workforce Development. They had an extensive meeting on the December floods. A number of agencies were there. I've got some pictures from the December event that I'll go through. And then I've got some pictures from this most recent storm event that's been going on for a couple weeks and, and actually continues on in the upper elevations in the mountains. And finally, not included in your packet, but emailed to each of you as a video clip. It's not very long, 45 seconds or a minute or so, of our operations up on US 20 over the pass. Kind of gives you a picture of what moving snow was all about and kind of equipment we use to move snow. What I can tell you is from the pictures of both events, they pale in comparison to when you see this for real. And I'll talk about that a little bit in the December event, and I've been up on the pass, and it's just it's unbelievable the kinds of conditions that you encounter. And we went from high water to high snow, and I guess high temperatures are maybe coming next, but I'm not a weather forecaster, so we won't bet on that. So I'll talk about the December storm. First, let me tell you, our response, this isn't an ad hoc deal to ODOT, response to any sort of incident. We have an emergency response plan. It's what's referred to as an all-hazards plan, which means it's designed to be used in any situation whenever we have to respond. And what that allows us to do then is when we train, we use what's called the incident command system. This is a relatively new thing for ODOT. We haven't used this formal incident command structure. It's been around since the 70s. It was developed by the U.S. Forest Service for fighting forest fires, and we're pretty good at it. Fire departments are very good at it, and the U.S. Forest Service, when they're fighting a fire, are just incredible at how organized a method this is when there's seeming chaos all around. So we've trained up a number of our staff in incident command system training, and we've been through some exercises. You might have heard of the top-off exercise, which sort of fortuitously occurred just a couple weeks before the storm and gave not only ODOT but a number of state agencies the chance to practice incident command system and respond and how to do that. So we, with that basis, we go into the December event, and a day before the windstorm, or a day and a half before the windstorm, our guys have, our maintenance folks have connections into all sorts of weather services, what's called micro forecasting, very, very specific kinds of forecast that we use. And we were aware that there was a significant storm on the way, and so when we start to get our equipment ready, get our crews ready, figure out how we're going to go on shifts so that we're prepared as we can get going into the storm. But even with that level of preparedness, the storm that hit in early December was something, depending on where you were, something that a lot of people have never seen before. And I talked to former Senator Dukes the other day over here at the Capitol, and she was in Astoria, and I guess she probably had the best description of it. I asked her if it was a little scary, and she said, you know, that night I was sitting there wishing that I could see what was going on outside, and the next morning I got up and the wind was still blowing and I was wishing it was dark again. So it was a very, very severe incident. We had road, about two dozen of our highways were closed at some point, either due to high water or due to trees blowing down over the highways. when that happens, in any sort of circumstance, we use TripCheck. That's www.tripcheck.com. It's a very good page to get the status of the highway system and what's closed, what's open. Do you need chains? All of those sorts of things. We use TripCheck and we use traditional media. And the TripCheck thing, I think that is also an access to the cameras that we have in the highway system. And it's we had four times as many hits or visits in 1 week in that week in December than we have in a normal week in about the same time of the year. So obviously it was effective at letting people know what was going on. We our maintenance crews went to work immediately trying to clear the roads, and in some cases just trying to figure out what to do when we had high water. The State Emergency Command Center activated shortly after the event started, and ODOT is a participant in that. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's out at the Anderson Readiness Center. It's that building on State Street as you go out east of town, straight out State Street at about Hawthorne. It's got a lot of antennas around it. And there's a room in there where all the state agencies can come into one room, and representatives from state agencies can come into one room, and you have a chance to coordinate your efforts from that room. And this is a huge advantage. We were able to, working with the Public Utilities Commission, who was the conduit coming from the utilities, there were just massive utility outages during the storm. We guided, ODOT crews guided some utility crews, basically a caravan of utility repair crews into the Astoria area around various roads that were closed, and we found a way to get them in there. When the Guard went into Vernonia, the National Guard went into Vernonia, at night, when Vernonia had basically was stranded, there were people on rooftops to avoid being to avoid drowning. The Guard went in, and ODOT escorted the Guard in, and we worked with the state police to keep our radios. A lot of our radio systems are co-located in the same site, and we worked with the state police to make sure that we had radio communications for. Probably a day or day and a half of this event, the only way that we had to communicate with the North Coast was the highway radio system. We were very thankful for that. Our crews in, I always say this, and I don't think it was ever more well demonstrated than this event. When the weather forecasters say don't leave your house unless you have to is when our crews go to work. And we had a crew at a maintenance station about 7 miles in from US 101 on US 26. And they, at one point in the evening, sharpened every saw they had in the shop. There were trees down. This is one of those things that's just unbelievable. I'd seen the pictures of it, and I may have one in here, of trees that are just snapped off about 15 or 20 feet up in the air. And it is... folks, it's acres of these trees. It's just unbelievable how much timber came down. And this crew sharpened up everything that they had in the that could cut, and started cutting their way, cutting US 26 open, so they could reopen that road and get back to the Seaside and Astoria area. A really, truly heroic effort. And we talked to the director, and I had the opportunity to go up and talk to that crew. And we asked them about, you know, how could you see, it was dark, how could you see a tree coming? And they said, well, it was you really couldn't. If there was one that was going to fall, you were just kind of hoping it didn't hit you. And we asked them if they could hear a tree breaking and coming down. They said the wind was blowing so loud, so hard, that they couldn't hear trees coming down. So just imagine that kind of effort to reopen that highway. The response overall, we got highways opened very quickly, save for one that's in the pictures, and I'll talk about that. I was the state maintenance engineer in 1996. My successor, state maintenance engineer Lucy Moore, is back here today, and this was her first time to go through this, so she kind of knows what it's like now. But in the level of response, both from an ODOT standpoint and from a state standpoint, in this incident compared to 1996, it's almost uncomparable, thousands of percent better. in terms of our ability to, one thing that helped is we had the building we were in, it used to be in a small building over here on Cottage Street, wasn't a very good place to work. And we didn't have good communication from there. And now from the Anderson Readiness Center, we have very good communication, and the room is designed to be able to manage emergencies. And it should give you confidence and your constituents and all Oregonians confidence that the state has a structure in place to manage emergencies and do it well. It was just, for me, it's still a devastating kind of event, but a much better way to manage than what we saw in 1996. Also, the governor's leadership in convening a recovery cabinet, recovery council of state agency heads very quickly to start to lay out, not only we were doing the response part and the recovery cabinet was talking about how are we going to recover from this, because we knew when those waters went down, this event was not over. And I'll guarantee you, if you've been to Vernonia, this event still isn't over. It seems like it to us if we're not driving up there, but they're still recovering from what was down there. So I should also add that in the state's emergency plan, we rely on the county emergency response centers. They responded well. The cities sometimes have emergency response centers. They were very good to work with. And overall, it was a good coordinated effort. And those, of course, counties and cities also suffered damage in this in the flood event, and they have, and I'll talk about that just a little bit in the snow event, but they've got the same problems. It doesn't just snow on state highways. And with the loss of timber revenues, the counties, and some counties are in a very, very difficult shape. So I'll kind of walk you through these this handout, the December 2007 handout. The first page just shows, this is a picture from Trip Check. It's not exactly, it's a little touched up from Trip Check, but shows the locations of all of the highway closures that we had. And again, most of these were resolved within a day, and we had those roads back open. And you see in these kind of events the importance of a transportation system. We talk about it a lot in terms of economic development, but these kind of events really point out the importance in terms of public safety. If you got a road closed, you can't get medical supplies in, you can't get to hospitals, just a number of those things that people rely on every day in on the transportation system. And the next picture on slide 3 is a picture of the Salmon River Bridge over on the coast, and that's a tree leaning up against it. What's just notable about that is that we had trees down everywhere. As you can see also on slide number 4 and 5, those are both on US 26, and just an incredible amount of trees down, and they came down fast. On slide number 6, trees weren't the only problem. We also had, these are mudslides or debris flows where we covered the highway, which happened on US 30, and you'll see in a little bit. And I would call your attention to slide 7, which is a kind of a different picture. It's looking down a river at a bridge. And this is something that happens in a high water event, is that you get a lot of, and then with the high wind, you get a lot of trees in the water. But even with high water, you get a lot of trees and material that'll float up against a bridge. And we call this drift, is a term that we call it. And it's very critical to us to remove this as soon as possible, because bridges are generally not designed to handle a whole lot of lateral force. They're meant to drive on, but when you have water pushing all of this material up against the bridge, that's a lot of stress on that bridge. And so drift removal is a key factor for us. On page 8, this is one of those areas that the picture doesn't do it justice, I think, because of the scale, but where that road, you can see that it appears that there's one lane of that road left. Well, I was on that road, and then when I walked over to the other side so I could see under the road, I wish I wouldn't have been on that road. I wasn't driving, I was just walking. And cavity goes about halfway back under that lane that's still there. That's just a cantilever that's out, just hanging out over the edge. And the distance from the road down to to the bottom of that very first part of the slide is probably 80 or 100 feet. So this is a huge washout. This road's now been reopened. It took us about, I think it took us about 4 weeks to get that reopened. Slide number 9 is a picture of mist, aerial picture of mist. You can see the devastation and the flooding. Slide 10 is, this is a very common type of distress or damage that we see during high water, where what had happened there is the water, the channel had pushed the water up against that bank and just washed that bank out. When it occurred, the water was much higher than it is in that picture. Again, a picture of Vernonia, just a devastating water flow. This sign is on US 26 pointing up Oregon 47 to Vernonia, and it's that trailer is not normally in the water. And we weren't confined to just the north part of the northwest part of Oregon. The picture on page 13 is a rock. And you can see in the scale how big that rock is that fell off the side of a hill and closed Oregon 38 for a day. And then even in the urban areas on slide 14, that's Oregon 217, about halfway between I-5 and US 26 and very high water there. Picture on Oregon 6, interesting thing about Oregon 6 is in the 96 floods and some subsequent floods, the damage on Oregon 6 has been massive, and I'm not positive, but I suspect if you look in the right side of this picture, just over halfway up, there's a big pipe there, and we've done a lot of restoration or repair projects and put in more drainage, and that's one of the real keys to a high water event in where you have this kind of situation, is making sure you've got good drainage coming off from the hillside of the road down to the side that falls off to the river, and that pipe is providing drainage, and obviously not enough that this washed, it did wash out, but it didn't compromise the road as it's still behind the guardrail. And the picture on page 16 is the one I was referring to that is just unbelievable. If you have the chance to drive US 26 and see all of those trees snapped off, it must have been one big gust of wind that came through there. And then as we were winding down from that initial response, US 30, and there's a before picture on page 17 and an after picture of kind of showing how much mud and debris came down off that hillside causing damage to the homes that were there, and just a huge amount of debris on our highway and we were closed there for several days. Slide 19 is a cleanup, and slide 30 is another picture from that U.S. as is, I'm sorry, 20 and 21 from that same disaster, as is 22. So the last page of the last slide in the handout is the number of visits to trip check. As I said, we went up, doubled in less than a week, and the total number of visits was in 1 week was greater than in an average month. So that is a very valuable tool. I think it's a tool that's appreciated by Oregonians, and it's one of the best things we've done in terms of being able to get people information about road closures and so forth. So I'm going to pause there for a minute and ask you if you have any questions about the December event, and then we'll move into the January.
Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to join you here today. And I apologize, I have to take off here. I'm already late for another appointment, but the reason I wanted to be here today actually was to talk about the January snowstorms. And I, in the month of January, I was up in LeGrand on business, down in Lakeview on business, which, as Representative Gilman knows, Lakeview, of course, is the highest elevation city in the state of Oregon. And I was over Diamond Lake Pass once, and last week I was over Sandy Am Pass 3 times in 5 days. And I cannot begin to tell you how much I appreciate the work that the men and women at ODOT are doing in this very difficult time keeping these passes open. And I I hope somehow you can convey that to your folks, that those of us that use it, and though we get some, you know, we get some of this because you get stuck up there sometimes, but they're up there in some very adverse conditions and they're working very long hours, and I really appreciate it.
Chair Beyer, Representative Riley, thank you very much. I assure you I will carry those comments out as the director or I will try and get out to every one of those crews, and we will definitely pass on your thanks and your appreciation. And I'll tell you that's what those guys live for. If you ask a maintenance ODOT and maintenance employee about a road, a Iowa State highway, they'll refer to it as their highway, and that's what they believe. And I'm kind of old school highway, and I don't like it one bit when one of my highways is closed, and I don't like it one bit when somebody dies on one of my highways. And I will do everything I can, and so will they, to make sure that we do our best to try and make sure they're open and that they're safe all the time. And I greatly appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
So, any other questions? So, seeing none, we can move on.
All right, we'll jump into the January snowstorm. As I said, this one is still going on in the highest elevations. I think we got about a foot and a half or 2 feet again over the pass last night, and I think there's another storm coming tomorrow, although the freezing level is continuing to go up. A little bit of good news for you, at least the last forecast I've seen in terms of the river flows. I was about 8 years old during the 1964 floods, and when I saw what was happening here with the low-level snow that we have and more rain coming and freezing levels going up, I started to get pretty concerned about what might happen. The weather forecasters are not, fortunately, not forecasting flooding, maybe a little bit of localized flooding, but what's happening different than 1964 is that the storms are going to be moving through quickly, and whereas in what they were afraid of is a storm that came and lasted for a very long time. Last night it was raining very hard, and today hasn't been too bad. So as long as the storms are moving through quickly, they feel like the melt of that snowpack up there will be not so severe that the rivers won't be able to contain it. And I can tell you from ODOT's perspective, and certainly from the maintenance employee's perspective that Representative Burley talked about, we're very happy to hear that. We've got a lot of tired people. We've been going hard for a long time, and we're hoping that the forecasters are spot on. The snow that we experienced in the last couple of weeks is by far the most intense and widespread in at least recent history. A couple of statistics, or one statistic anyway, the snowpack in the Willamette drainage was about 50% of average, and in a couple of weeks it went to 167% of average. So just a massive amount of snow in a very short time. We're over average. The snowpack, I believe, is over average everywhere in Oregon now. This storm didn't spare much of Oregon at all. It hit everywhere. Interesting, in addition to the amount of snow, was the amount of wind that came with this storm and subsequent to this storm. And in the eastern Oregon areas, particularly where the snow's a little bit drier, we just had huge problems with drifting. And we've still got a couple of highways that are closed because of snow. One of them is Oregon 140 east of Lakeview. And a couple days ago, one of our crews went in and got a snowblower and a bunch of equipment, and they spent all day, and they thought they had the road opened, and they turned around, and as they were headed back, they found out that all the snow that they had just cleared, the wind had come up, and the snow had drifted back over the road again. And so we're back closing, and we're actually hoping for a little bit of rain down there to get some moisture in the snow so it won't blow so much when the wind blows. But that's definitely a problem when you can't make the snow stay where you put it. This kind of widespread event really challenges us. It's hard anytime you have even the flood that I talked about, but there were a couple other places in Northwest Oregon, but that was primarily a Northwest Oregon event, and we could shift some crews around. when you have an event like this where it's just really widespread, you can't shift people from other parts of the state because they're all busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got roads closed. We do what we can. We move some people over from the coast a little bit to try and shift resources around, but it's a real challenge when it's something that's just widespread. And it's a real, the other part of it being widespread is you're going and very hard on our employees and our equipment because you're going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no break. Most crews go to 12-hour shifts. I get worried about this time. After around 2 weeks of 12-hour shifts, people start making mistakes. You get tired. You know, you need a break, and we're more prone to having accidents. We've only had one. Wasn't related to being tired. I'll talk about it in a minute. But this is a real stretch for us when you're this widespread and everybody's going all the time. And it's also very hard on our equipment. When you get very high snow levels like this and deep snow like this, you have to use what's called a snow blower. And this is a very specialized piece of equipment. We have 23 of them, I think, in the state. And so you plow the snow and you sort of push it out of the lanes, but eventually it starts to cave in on itself, and you have to come through with this with a snow blower, which picks the snow up and literally blows it or throws it far away from the roadway. And then you, by widening that out, you can come through with plows and you can keep two lanes open. Well, we lost 6 out of 23 blowers during this event. And 23, we were using all 23 when we lost the 6. And you don't go and get these at A to Z Rental, folks. These things are expensive pieces of equipment. They're not just sitting around. And there's 3 at Crater Lake.
What do you mean lost?
They failed.
Belly up.
They needed to be repaired. They broke down. I'm sorry. I should have said they broke down. They didn't just drive off into the snow. I wish it was that easy.
Another expression is gunny sack.
They broke down and we're working on repairing them. But that was not a good time to not have all of our blowers. And we had to reposition blowers, putting priority on the interstates and then over the passes, and there was an incident on US 20 between here and Bend at what's a place known as Hog Rock. It's just before the summit, and we had a huge avalanche up there, and then some huge snow that we actually ended up dynamiting to get off of the hill because it kept falling on the road. And so we had lost US 20. And all while that's happening, so now US 20 is in lost. I don't mean lost. I'm sorry, Representative Tomei. It was not available for us to use. So while that's happening, so now you're moving traffic onto US 26 and Oregon 58, which runs out of Eugene. US 26 runs into Portland. And while that's happening, Washington has I-90, Interstate 90, closed, and so the trucks are driving down to Oregon and coming across on US 26, or actually coming across on US 20 and 26 into the Portland area. And so the amount of traffic that suddenly appeared on US 26 was much higher than usual and became critical for us to keep that open. And Oregon 58 is also a major truck route. So we had to shift our resources around to make sure we kept those roads open. That's why we still have a couple of roads closed. US 20 still closed. Oregon 140 I referred to, and Oregon 62 at the Crater Lake National Park is still closed. We just opened up the road. There's a road that runs up out of White City, out of Medford. It's Oregon 62, and then it splits off and goes up to a town called Prospect, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. It has some significance to us in this presentation. And that road is now reopened again. So we're continuing to work to get all of the roads reopened, but it's taken us a little while. What's happening is that even when the storm ends, the roadways have been narrowed so much by the amount of snow that we've had, we need those blower devices to go up and widen out not only the travel lanes, but to actually give us some shoulder and beyond shoulder area so that when we get another 6 inches of snow, we can go through with our plows and push the snow off, and there's some place to put it. There's the same problem they had in Detroit up Oregon 22 is they just flat ran out of places to put snow. And Governor declared an emergency in Oregon County, and the guard went up. They have a lot of front-end loaders, and basically picked the snow up and drove it off to probably into the reservoir. But that, there's a picture in the packet of Detroit, I think. Again, we used trip check and press releases. Unlike December, unfortunately, we didn't make this one through without injury, even with those that crew I talked about that was cutting US 26 open. In this case, we had an employee that was leaving a shop, and the way we're staffed, we unfortunately end up at a lot of times where we have a single employee, and this was unfortunate, but fortunate in the way it turned out. This employee was driving up to that town, Prospect, to try and keep at least one lane open for the residents of Prospect so that they could get back to Medford if they needed to get back to Medford. And the snow in southern Oregon was very, very heavy and was weighting down trees, and a tree, you'll see some pictures in there of trees leaning over the highway, and a tree broke and fell on the truck. There's a picture, I'll just tell you right at the very end of that handout is a picture of the truck. And you can see that the employee is forecast to have a complete recovery. He had significant fractures, but he did live and is forecast to completely recover. But the sort of fortunate part is he was by himself, and fortunately another ODOT employee came upon him shortly after this happened, was able to get medical assistance to him right away. But very, very scary sort of picture. This, different than the December storm where we had the floods and a lot of damage, where those washouts that we saw are taking the road away, those are eligible for Federal Highway Administration Emergency Relief Funds. And that's good money. That's federal money. That's good money. I mean, it's 100%. We don't have to match it. A lot of other storm responses from FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, and that usually comes and requires a 25% match. But for highways that are on the federal aid system, we don't have to pay that match. The Federal Aid Emergency Relief Program pays it all. Unfortunately, in the snowstorm event, they don't pay for that. And we've spent about $3 million more already this year than we had at the same time last year. I shouldn't say already, but we spent about $3 million more than we had at the same time last year in snow and ice, control, removal, and all those sorts of things. It's a combination of both the how widespread and intense the event was. It's also it's also contributed to by the fact that our materials, which are anti-icers and road sand, have gone up. The cost has gone up tremendously. If you look back 2 years, we're paying 80% more for anti-icer, and we're paying about twice as much for road sand. And I'll tell you, anti-icer is just it is a real lifesaver in a number of ways. If you're in just kind of an icing event, it can keep those roads clear. But in this kind of even in this kind of event, if you apply anti-icer early, it's a lot easier to pick that snow up and get it off the ground once you can finally get down to the pavement. So it's a tremendous attribute for us, but the cost is really, really severe. Again, it doesn't really snow on state highways. County roads and city streets are impacted, and I talked a little bit about Detroit. So walk you through the second set of slides, the January 2008 snowstorms. That's the picture of Detroit. That sign is usually off the ground. And Oregon 22, so it's down below the Santiam Junction where US 20 meets it. Just kind of a picture of what that looks like. This is a picture of state police and when we were getting ready for the closure due to the avalanche. And just another picture. And what's impressive about this picture, you got to look kind of closely. It's not blurry. That's not why you can just barely see the person standing or the cars over there. It's just the snow is taking away all visibility. obviously trucks, commercial vehicles, severely impacted in this kind of situation. Just a picture to show you, and this is the stuff that's really hard to appreciate.
What number are you on, Doug?
I'm sorry, I'm on, well, they're good, these aren't numbered. One of those things we never do. This picture, I flipped over to this picture here. It's just past the line of trucks.
Okay.
This is US 20 on the bottom of it. Shows that a grader is a tool that we use in, well, they are on there. Thank you. A grader is a tool that we use, slide 7, to what's called cut the pack or reduce the pack. You don't want the snow just to pile up and become, ideally you'd like to keep it 2 inches deep or less. You can't always do that, but you want to manage that pack so that when it starts to melt, when the snow starts to melt, you don't end up with huge potholes. And so you may have, I don't know what the pack is up there right now. It may be 6 inches it's up there now, but we're going to continue to run graders over it. Even though it seems it's all smooth and it's all sanded, we're going to continue to run graders over it and cut that pack and get that pack down so when it does start to melt, we don't have big, not chuck holes in the pavement, but chuck holes in the ice, if you will. Slide 8. Shows this is a snow plow, and we put this slide in to show you something. There's a plow in front of this vehicle. That thing sticking out to the side is what's called a wing plow. We use those so that we can maximize in one pass. We can plow a wider area, so it's a productivity deal. Slide 9, I'm not sure what we're looking at because the snow's so hard that I can't tell what it's doing. We'll flip over to Meacham. I-84 and I-5. Very, very heavy truck routes, and you can just see the trucks lined up. Meacham is that big hill just east of Pendleton, as you go up there. Picture of the Siskiyous. On the Siskiyous, we can normally get by, the way that the snow works in the Siskiyous, we can normally get by without running a blower up there or only doing it once a year. As of last week, we've been up there 8 times. So I just that's not something that we usually have to do. Try and keep that highway open. You get into on slide 12, Diamond Lake Highway, and you can see what happened with the amount of snow in those trees and how much those trees are leaning. They don't normally do that, and that's what caused the tree to fall on our employee.
138 between Diamond Lake and 97, is it still closed?
It's open now.
Oh, it is open.
It's open now.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. Another picture of Diamond Lake Highway, and on page 14, a good picture of what a snowblower does, picking snow up off and throwing it out so that we can. If you look onto the left side of the picture, the oncoming lane, you'll see that snow, it kind of slopes down to the road, and what that's what it's like in front of that blower. The blower is coming through and picking that snow up and throwing it out and leaving you a nice firm edge there, and you can plow more snow over against that. And then the slides I talked about on pages 15 and 16, again, we're very thankful that our employee was able to get out of that and are hoping for a full recovery. So, brag a little bit. I really appreciate the comments of Representative Burley. What went on that our folks did up there, it is truly heroic. And a number of people, not only in the snow incident, but in the December incident, a number of people have said that. And I'm very, very proud to be part of the Oregon Department of Transportation always, but particularly at times like this. I think that we believe we always do a good job. I think it's a little bit more noticeable when you have something like this happen. This was not limited to Oregon. If you look at the kind of the equivalent of trip check, sounds good, but kind of the equivalent of trip check that Idaho has, they've got all kinds of roads closed, Washington had I-90 closed, I believe, for 5 days, and it's closed again. Uh-huh. So we're seeing more trucks coming through, and all of our highways, except for those ones I named, are back open again. So our folks have just done a very good job, and we're very proud to be able to do that. And with that, Chair Beyer, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, it's not really a question, Doug. Thank you so much for this presentation and for all the hard work that you and everybody who's working for ODOT obviously is doing. I think there should be a letter coming from our committee signed by each member of the committee and Representative Burley that extends our thanks to all of the department for
That'd
the hard
great.
Work that they did in these very, very trying times. I mean, 2 months, two very, very serious storms. Yeah. That they dealt with, and one person seriously injured. And I think we ought to send something to that person who was injured from the legislature.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Tomei. We'll get that information to the administrator so that you can send something down to him in Medford.
That would be great.
Great.
That'd
yes,
be
thank
excellent.
You.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to say also comment. Trip Check is fantastic. I'm sure George uses it. I use it all the time. But the relationship with the media, I thought, were wonderfully handled as well. Every TV channel in Jackson County was very clear about what the situation was, and newspapers were too. So people had information very clearly before they went out the door. And on the days when ODOT said, do not travel unless you absolutely have to, I think people took that out. Not everyone did. I wish more people took that seriously. But enough people did to really minimize, I think, the instance that could have happened. Because we're just not, you know, you're not quite used to having it that extreme. And so to have that line drawn very clearly to say, look, this is really serious. Don't do it was very helpful.
Excellent. Chair Beyer, Representative Burley, Buckley, I will pass that on to our public affairs folks. That's an area of the department that we have focused on and we've applied staff to because we realize how critical it is. And you know, I talked about, I don't like it when people die on my highway or hurt on my highway. That's just another tool that we have to make travel safer, is making sure that people know what they're getting into as best we can. So I greatly appreciate your comments, and I'll pass them on to our public affairs staff.
Thank you. And I want to echo what's been said. I mean, we hear nothing but good things, except for a couple of people who live on those roads that are so closed that might not be very happy.
Well, Chair Beyer, I think I answered a letter to a constituent that came from you on US 20, and again, we've had a couple just. As I said before, this kind of event shows the conundrum, the fight between expectations and available resources. And people have become so used to being able to travel that when they can't, it hurts their businesses, it messes up their schedules, and people tend to take roads for granted, you realize just how important they are when you have times like this. And again, we're working as quickly as we can to resolve that issue along with all the other ones on our highway system.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug, you mentioned, I think you spent $3 million more than normal. What
so far.
Kind of an impact is that going to have come July 15th or something like that?
Well, Chair Beyer, Representative Gilman, good question. So I'll tell you a little bit about how we manage the maintenance budget in the Department of Transportation. First, it's very tight when we start into any year. You've heard all of the issues about funding and so forth. When this happens the first year, we have a couple of options. First, because it's the first year of the biennium, what we will do is we'll look and wait until we get the final tally. If it, you know, warms up and we have a better February than we usually have, maybe it's not quite as bad as it was or would have been, but it could be worse too. And so we'll look at the final tally, and then we'll do a couple of things. Well, first off,
we have money to do maintenance paving. This is not the big projects where you see the contractors out there. This is the small patching or small patches and trying to hold roads together. And that will get curtailed, and so roads will be in places in rougher condition this summer. If we don't have enough money to make up the hole through that, then we'll be back to you guys next year asking to, we'll probably delay some statewide transportation improvement program projects in order to make sure we can fund this. But it happened the first year of the biennium, we have some time to recover. If it happened next year, we'd probably be back to you right now or in March, back to the emergency board saying, hey, we need to shift some resources around from our construction program to our maintenance program, because we have to keep the roads open. I mean, I don't constrain people and say, well, wait a minute, before you go open that road, make sure you got the money. We'll get the road open. We'll figure out if we have to delay a construction project to pay for it. That's what we'll do.
Good question.
Thank you so much for coming in, and keep up the good work. And
thanks for the opportunity.
And let your crew know how much we appreciate it.
Pray for sunshine. Pray for sunshine.
And with that, we are finished today, and I'm going to close the house.